four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10. Pittsburgh Section, National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History 2. Bruce Adelson and Hope Layton interviewing Rosalind Lippman, February the 21st, 1997. Roz, would you please tell us your address?
It's 3600 1 Oxford Center.
Good. We want to make a check to see if we can hear. All set?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Roz, could you tell us something about your early life and family? Your father, your mother, siblings, that sort of thing.
Okay. Well, my mother and father were Pittsburghers. My father actually was born in Russia. As a young boy. My mother was raised in Pittsburgh. Her name was Dorothy Burlow, and she lived on Dawson Street and then on Dalzell Place when she was in high school, and she told me many times that it was farm country at that time. I am the only New Yorker in my family, and by that I mean that I was actually born in New York. I had one sibling, an older sister. She was born here in Pittsburgh when my family lived on the corner of Whiteman Street and Phillips Avenue. One of the family stories is that my sister ran at the age of two down Phillips Avenue from Whiteman Street to Murray Avenue, with my mother running after her. But my mother and father, my father's name was Harry Margolis, and they married in 1921 on today's date here in Pittsburgh, and my sister was born here.
What's her name?
Ruth. Well, her name was Ruth Margolis,
mm-hmm.
But it's now Ruth Obenauer. She's married to Summer Obenauer.
Oh,
do you know her?
Sure.
She's a wonderful sister.
How do you spell Obenauer?
O-B-E-R-N-A-U-E-R. My family moved to New York, and I was actually born there. Went through high school. They moved back my last year of high school, but they permitted me to return when I graduated from high school.
In New York.
In New York.
In New York.
Okay. Then my father, I was all set to go to Cornell and be pre-med, and my father said, no, you can't do that. If you do that, you'll never have roots in Pittsburgh. You have to come back here and get a pick. And that was before the time that children knew that they could say no to their parents, so that's how I'm going to pick.
You did what he said.
Did you live at home?
I lived at home.
On top of it all.
On top of it all. And he was right. I got roots in Pittsburgh. I married somebody from here, and I here I am.
His hunch was right. Could you tell us something about your home life in your early years? What was the atmosphere? How did you observe Judaism? That sort of thing.
Okay. Well, my mother and father had been married here at the Tree of Life many, many years ago. By a rabbi, I think, who was famous at that time, Goldenson. I think he later went to New York.
That's right.
To Temple of Man.
Wasn't he at Rav Sholem Temple also?
Well, yes, but I think back in those years, I don't remember whether that's before Rav Sholem and Tree of Life. There was some kind of association. I don't know. I don't know.
I didn't know that.
But in any event, the early years of my life and through confirmation, my sister and I went to a temple in Brooklyn. The name of it was Temple of Beth Emmet. And we went. We were among the few who also, our parents also made us go to Hebrew school. Not our parents, my mother did.
I see.
Once a week at the temple. We were confirmed, and that was something that we did. Our home was always a Jewish home in terms of observing the holidays, but we were not religious.
You were not an observant.
We were not observant. We didn't keep a kosher home. My grandfather died when I was 9 years old. My grandmother came to live with us, and my grandmother named Bacon.
Oh, and she was very advanced.
She was very. My grandmother was a very modern lady. She bobbed her hair. When the flappers bobbed theirs, and she was a wonderful woman, but she was a wonderful, wonderful cook. So we were very observant in terms of all the foods, and as a result of that, I to this day make a filter fish. Yes, my own On Yom Kippur, we make my grandmother's pickled herring. So, yeah, we
from scratch.
All of this.
You buy the herring.
We don't fish for it.
I mean, you pickle it.
We pickle it.
Soak it.
Yeah. Well, actually, my sister Ruth's daughter Lynn has taken that task. It's very smelly.
I know. Yeah. Were you Reform or conservative?
Temple Beth Emmet was Reform.
Is a Reform.
And so when I was raised, I would say I was Reform. Mm-hmm. But when I came here, my sister is active in Temple Beth Emmet show. Originally, I went to some of the services there. When I got married, my husband was from Peely. He had been raised in the Orthodox.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went to
Tree of Life. Okay. What was your grandmother's name and whose mother was she?
Bessie Perlow. She was my grandfather was Peter Perlow. My grandmother was Bessie Perlow. Her maiden name was Green. And my grandfather had a laundry and linen supply business. I just recently came across a photograph of an American apron supply or coat apron, something like that, on Wyandotte Street, which is...
In Pittsburgh?
Oh, in Pittsburgh. Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, when my grandmother and grandfather came to this country, they're the ones who lived on Dawson Street and then on Dalzell Place.
My grandparents and father lived on Dawson.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. And
my grandmother belonged to some organization. There are other people here who belong to it from her hometown, and I've often meant to try to look up all those people if there are any left. They used to meet regularly, you know, like once a year or once.
What did your father do? What did he do in Pittsburgh and what did he do in New York?
When he was in Pittsburgh, when my mother and he were married, he had a men's clothing store. He had two. One down on Water Street,
mm-hmm.
and one, I think, on Smithfield Street.
Mm-hmm.
Then in the Depression years, he lost those, gave them up. They moved to New York. And he worked as a salesperson in men's clothing for years in Gimbel's.
In New York.
Mm-hmm. When we came back here, he at first worked, and what precipitated him back here for someone who had worked for him, who opened a clothing store called Kay's Clothes.
Mm-hmm.
He did that, but then he and my mom in the later years of their life had a millinery and bag shop on Forbes Avenue called Dorothy's Millinery. It was on Forbes, a couple of doors up from Advent Street, and people to this day, you know, I used to buy hats for her money. What a wonderful woman she was.
And your father's parents' names were?
Well, I never knew them. Okay. They were from Russia. His mother's name was Ruchel.
Okay.
And his father's name was Abraham.
I see.
Yes, Abraham.
Did they come to the United States or
not?
Did
his
they?
Parents.
Okay.
My father was the baby in his family. He came here, you know, before he got to be Army age alone, but he had an older sister who was kind of a mother figure once he came here, who lived in Pittsburgh in the East End area. Her name was Steinberg, my aunt.
What was her first name?
Bessie Steinberg. And her daughter is Sarah Gordon, who's my cousin. Her granddaughter is Ruthie Schachter, who's the head of the Federation.
Right.
And so my dad lived with them.
Okay, so what you were saying is that you belong to a Reformed temple,
yes.
and that you observed the holidays, but you were not
an observant.
Jews.
And New York is very different from a place like Pittsburgh, because in New York, in order to identify as a Jew, there's not the same sort of necessity to either belong to a congregation or be active in Jewish organizations. In fact, when I lived in New York, I never heard of the United Jewish Federation until I moved to Pittsburgh in my freshman year of college. Nobody ever solicited me. And of my group of friends in high school, we had a close group of friends, most of whom were Jewish. I was the only one who went to religious services. I was the only one who was confirmed. None of the boys I knew were bar mitzvah. They identified themselves as Jews, but they didn't
At that time, I think people were very interested in becoming very, they were much trying to be secular, to be more Americanized.
Well, I don't think it's only that. I think it's also that in New York, every, you know, you've heard the old joke, everybody's Jewish.
Right.
And so to identify as a Jew, you really did not need to seek other
confirmation of the fact that you were Jew.
Yeah.
Okay. What was school like in New York? You went to elementary and high school?
Elementary and high school. School was really wonderful.
Was it?
Yes, they had a wonderful school system. In fact, in my last year of high school with my family, we here in Pittsburgh, initially the plan was they were going to move mid-year, and I was a senior. And in order to graduate, we had to attend school for a full year, so I came ahead with my father in September. I never told him how awful that experience that was for me, but I didn't tell him at first. And his we stayed until they could get an apartment. It was very hard to get apartments at that time. It was the last year of the war. I guess I moved here in 45.
It was
impossible to get an apartment. Mm-hmm. So we lived, my aunt, the Steinberg, Sarah Gordon's family, lived on Wilkins Avenue at that time. Mm-hmm. And for 2 weeks or 3 weeks, I attended all the days. Mm-hmm. It was terrible for me. Oh. For two reasons. One, it was very disruptive. You know, back in Brooklyn, in Erasmus, I was the feature editor of the newspaper, and I was on the yearbook, and I was, you know, with this special group, and here suddenly I was taken from that, and it wasn't so much that I was nothing, but I missed all my friends terribly. You know, at that age, I was just 16, so I was younger than everybody here, but that was fine. But the level of academics here was so much below.
Really?
What I
had. Was it really?
There was not one class I had that I had not already had enjoyed before. So I found it's not very nice to say, but it's true. The New York school system was really very, very advanced.
You went to Erasmus High School?
Erasmus Hall High School.
Okay.
That's where Barbara Streisand went.
Is that right?
And Barbara Stanwyck.
Is that right?
Yes. Spell Erasmus.
Erasmus, named after Desiderius Erasmus, the man who translated the Bible from Latin.
And how about your elementary school, the name of that?
P.S. 130, which was, my high school graduating class, incidentally, just to let you know how big the high school was, and it was only 4 years, my high school graduating class had approximately 1,000 people. That's how many kids were in the class.
Boy.
And in my grade school, we had large classes, and I think there were two or three at each level. It was an excellent grade school. It was principally in my classes, I would say it was middle class, many, many Jewish students, very good students.
With interested parents and
That was before the time of interested parents. I don't remember, except for my father's going to school when I got into trouble for talking on the steps, and the teacher who reprimanded me was my English teacher. And suddenly, on one of my report cards, I had something like 65, and my father picked himself up, took off work, which was very unusual for my father. He always opened his door and closed it. Went to school to demand to know why this A student had suddenly gotten that grade. But aside from that, I don't remember my parents ever participating.
But it was implicit that you were going to go to school and behave and learn and do what you were told to do.
It was implicit that I would be the first in my class.
Is that right?
And I would be the valedictorian, and I would, I don't think that that was a requirement, but my father used to carry my report card around and show it.
Did he really? He was very proud of you.
He was proud of both of us, but there was just never any question with respect to going to school and achieving.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, my father didn't have any sons,
mm-hmm.
and he always regretted that he'd not been able to have him in school. When he came to this country, he was already high school age, and he was older, I suppose, than most people starting high school. was older. But he did, he went to high school, went to Fifth Avenue, but he always regretted
going, because he couldn't.
Able to.
Right.
He couldn't get to work.
So, what you're saying that you're, you did graduate from Alderdice, however.
No, I graduated. What happened was after I came for the 2 week period, in New York at Erasmus, we had something called a grade advisor, who was the person who supervised this class of 1,000. And among that 1,000, there were certain people who were permitted to do work in the grade advisor's office. So instead of having a study period, we went and worked. We thought that was an honor. Well, it really was. It was fun. Unbeknownst to me, my two closest friends, my girlfriends in school, of course, knew how dismayed I was at having to leave school. But I had never told my parents, because it never occurred to me that it was a choice. There was just no sense letting them know how.
Now, you would have stayed in New York and they would have gone.
Well, what happened was my grade advisor wrote my father a letter without my knowing anything about it. And I remember she said, I mean, still remember, it makes me, my voice crack when I think of it. There had been a hurricane in New York on Long Island the year before, and I remember that summer, and I remember her saying to my father, Roslyn must be like one of those great trees uprooted from the ground after all those years. She had taken it upon herself to talk to the parents of each of my closest girlfriends and ask them if I could stay with them, live with them for the last semester if my parents would allow me to. They had both agreed that I could do that.
That is great.
And my father took me out. We had the custom when we wanted to talk, I used to say to my father, could we go out for a walk? So he took me out for a walk, and he wanted to know how school was. That's when I was in Alderdice. And I said, you know, it's fine. And then he proceeded to read me this letter. And of course, I cried. And he said to me, are you really unhappy? You never told me. And so I went back and I lived with one of my friends, which was really wonderful. Their older daughter had just left for college. And I lived, you know.
That's great.
I still see both of those friends.
Do you keep in touch?
Oh, yes.
That's good. Okay. What was your life like? did you have much cultural activity? Did you go to concerts? You know.
In my grade school years, I would say no. Mm-hmm. My parents were both very hardworking. Those were years when we didn't have enough money to make it easy to do things like
right.
that. When I started to high school, I was very fortunate because the friends that I had, not the one I lived with, I spent a great deal of time at their home. And I used to go to some places with them. My last year, when I was there alone, that is without my parents, I used to save up my whole allowance and I used to go to the theater just about every Saturday. I used to blow it all on the going to lunch at a restaurant and the theater with one of my girlfriends. I did go to concerts when I was in high school. Never anything like that. So in New York, not so much except in high school years. At that time, I also became familiar with a place that has been very meaningful to me since, which is out in Long Island. My friends, the Hodes, had a home out there, built a home out there before anybody went out to Sag Harbor, which is now kind of chic in East Hampton. And I used to spend much of my summers out there with them. I was considered kind of mother and mother.
You were lucky.
I was very lucky. They were marvelous. And Mr. Hodes was a wonderful man. He's the first person who ever took me to jazz, which I also like. He used to take us to some of the places in the village to hear jazz. So I spent time out there, and my husband and I bought a place some years ago in East Hampton. I have it to this day. I spend as much time as I can.
It's dear, a place that's dear to your heart.
I enjoyed it, and my husband loved the beach.
Uh-huh.
And when our kids were little, we used to go up to Cape Cod. But once he discovered Long Island and the beach,
teachers. That was
he
it.
Left him.
What did you do? They'd like to know about your adolescent years. What you did for fun and recreation? How did you spend time with your friends?
In high school.
Uh huh.
We used to get together at someone's house. We had what we called a crowd.
Uh-huh.
Our crowd. And in fact, I recently had a high school reunion.
Did you?
And saw Rosalie, the one I lived with, now lives on at United Nations Plaza, which mm-hmm. is the tall apartment building. Mm-hmm. And she had a lot of this group to her home for drinks before we went to our high school reunion. And they've all just done remarkably well in terms of success in life. Mm-hmm. But we used to get together just about once a week or every other mm-hmm. week at somebody's home. I mean, we didn't mm-hmm. date as mm-hmm. such. Oh, maybe I remember saying to one of these people who came to the to Rosalie's cocktail party, remember you once asked me to the you once took me to the movies, and his response was, didn't I take everybody to the movies? I said, thank you very much. I don't remember ever really dating mm-hmm. as such.
So you moved in a group.
We were in a group. Senior prom, I
right.
went with actually somebody I also saw who became very successful. He's a pediatrician at Columbia Presbyterian. I see him quoted from time to time on asthma in the New York Times. So I think our senior prom, when I was 16, was the first time where there were really dates.
Well, you were young to be a senior at 16.
Well, I had
skipped
a couple of times.
Right. I can see that you did. Okay, then after high school, you had moved to Pittsburgh.
We moved to Pittsburgh. We lived on Barnsdale Street.
I know where all these places are.
We lived, had the top half of a duplex on Barnsdale Street.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Pitt,
mm-hmm.
and I lived at home. And
mm-hmm.
used to take the Wilkinsburg bus back and forth to school.
Okay. And you, what was your major in undergraduate?
Well, when I registered,
uh-huh.
when I had planned to go to Cordell, I was going to be pre-med and uh-huh. major in math. I love math. And so I registered here. I was pre-med,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted to major in math. And when I went to register, they said, oh, well, you're pre-med. Here's a block schedule. Mm-hmm. And I said, I didn't want a block schedule. For example, I wanted to take French. And they said, oh, no, you have enough French. You don't need anything in French. I said, I don't care whether I have enough. I want to take French. So although I remained pre-med and took chemistry,
right.
and biology,
right.
the basic uh-huh. science courses, for the first 2 years of my college career, I really switched in interest to English. And,
uh-huh.
and I graduated with a major in English, literature, and writing, and giving writing and speech.
Okay, that was interesting. Perfect for your career.
I think math was very helpful for my career, frankly.
I beg your pardon?
I think math was also very helpful.
Oh, I think so. Probably crucial. First of all, I'm just curious why you considered only Cornell when you wanted to go to Cornell Medical.
I had gotten three scholarships to Cordell.
Oh,
and it would have been cheaper for my
sure.
family to send me there, including all of the expense, than here.
Than to go to Pitt.
Yes.
Did you consider Pitt Medical School ever?
No.
Okay.
No, by that time, by the time I got to thinking about graduate school,
uh-huh.
I was not any longer
interested in medicine.
Right.
Okay.
I wouldn't say not interested. I'm interested in a lot of things.
No, I meant in becoming a doctor.
In becoming a physician.
Okay.
No, that was no longer the plan. But of
okay.
course, by that time, I had started dating my husband.
Okay.
He went to law school the year before I did.
I
followed him.
Was he in law school when you first met him?
No. My husband had been in the service
mm-hmm.
and had come back.
Mm-hmm.
And I was 18,
mm-hmm.
and he was 23, and my sister, Ruth, was dating my brother-in-law, Summer Obermeyer, and
mm-hmm.
she used to tell me about this dreadful friend, my brother-in-law, who used to say the most dreadful things to her, His name is David Lidman. I knew that. And I used to tell her what she should respond to this awful person. And it turned out that they told me that he was, I was taking a class in summer school, course in modern American drama. And they told me this David Lidman was in my class. And so I looked for him one day, and I still remember when I met him at Lid. And that's how we met. And about the only thing we agreed upon was that my sister and brother-in-law would never get married. That would not last. I think it was about a month later that we were the best man and maid of honor at their wedding.
Is that right?
And they were married to the rabbi's study at Temple. They wanted to be married at noon, but they couldn't be because David and I had to take our final exam in this course.
Okay.
And he knew I took notes, and so he studied with me. But he was a sophisticated man who'd been to India and been there for 3 years in the service, and here I was this kid. And our first date was the afternoon of the wedding. After the wedding breakfast, he drove me to Joyce McClement's in East Liberty to pick up a cake. My mother was entertaining some friends that night. Some of them married in the early afternoon. It was our wedding breakfast. My mother was having friends in that evening, and I had a date. But not only did I have a date, it was a formal dance. And when David dropped me off at Joyce McClement's, he said to me, "You know, Summer and I have baseball tickets together. Maybe you'd like to use his baseball ticket. You know, I'll take you to the game." And I said, "Well, gee, I really like to. I was enthralled with this sophisticated man." And I said, "But I can't. And when he dropped me off at Joyce McClement's, he said, "If you find that you're not busy, my phone number is." And I got out of the car and I thought, what's he mean if I find I'm not busy? Well, I found I wasn't busy.
And you went to the game.
I went to the game. And then I told my date, and I won't tell you his name. I told him that I was terribly sorry. My sister had gotten married, and it was all, my mother was entertaining, and she really needed me. I mean, he'd probably gone out with that tuxedo. It was a terrible thing to do.
Lucky there was no television and he didn't see you
at the game. Especially, well, in our seats today, everybody sees me if it's a big game because we have the seats in the first row on the third base side, and then the camera's always pointing toward it.
Okay, was there anything, well, I think this might be a good time to talk about some of the honors you had while you were in law school.
In law school? You don't want to go back to grade school or high school.
Yeah, why not? Let's start.
I will tell you one thing about high school.
Let's start at the very beginning.
No. Well, grade school, I was the valedictorian.
Of grade school?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes, and my father was so thrilled because he was always reticent to speak in front of a group. And I still remember when I was valedictorian after graduation, my father saying, "Rossi," he called me Rossi. didn't bother you to get up and talk in front of all those people. He was really delighted, which was very positive reinforcement to speak. When I graduated from high school...
May I interrupt you?
Sure.
What did you say in a valedictorian speech? Do you remember? Okay.
I'm sure it was something very...
mundane.
Not mundane. I'm sure I thought it was very important.
I
so
think
important.
Very mature.
I don't recall. Yes. But I don't really remember.
Okay.
I still have the medal, though. It's a pretty gold medal, yes. It said awarded for general excellence. And I always thought, that's not a very big deal, general excellence. But it was very thrilling to my parents.
I'm sure
it was very nice for me. Actually, I did not realize I was going to be valedictorian in my class until maybe a few months before graduation. My math teacher, I liked that even. Sullivan, she used to throw the razor took me aside. She said she wanted to see me in the class. And she said to me, "I want you to know that you're going to be the valedictorian, so you're going to do the speech." And I mean, I knew I had good grades, but I never, unlike today, and I never even thought about who's going to be valedictorian. Mm-hmm. I don't even know whether I knew there was such a thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In high school,
mm-hmm.
When I went back for my high school graduation, one of the things I've always been sorry I didn't suggest to my parents was my mother was coming back to see me at graduation, and they said, you know, would you expect it to be special? Or, and I said, well, you know, there's 1,000 people, and you know, Daddy doesn't have to take off from work to come out. It's not that important. And it turned out.
We have to turn the tape. That's half an hour. I think that's about